It's a beautiful morning out here at Moonee Valley. Unfortunately, not many people are getting to experience it. It would normally be bustling right now, but the anticipation is just as big. In fact, it's almost bigger because this is the running of the 100th Ladbrokes Cox Plate. And as we always do, as we count down to the Cox Plate, there is drama aplenty. Michael Brow, the CEO of Moonee Valley, joins me. Good morning, Michael.
Michael, what a spectacular morning it's been. I think as far as Breakfast with the Stars go, we haven't had too many mornings better than this on the Tuesday. And now the committee need to do a bit of work, as it looks like we've got 15 horses paying up for the 2020 Ladbrokes Cox Plate.
So there is drama afoot because your committee needs to make a decision on who misses out. So can you just run through the 15 who have paid up for this year's Cox Plate?
I can. So at this point in time, Arcadia Queen, Armory, Aspitar, Buckhurst, Fierce Impact, Grand Slam, paid the $200,000 late nomination yesterday. Humidor, of course, on his golden ticket after the Fian Stakes. Colding, Magic Wand, Mugger 2, Russian Camelot, Sir Dragon A. So that gives us 15. Did I have Natoya in there?
Natoya.
I don't think I've read out Natoya. So we've had the 15 come through, Master of Wine as well. So, yeah, towards the end of last week, we were thinking it was looking like 13 runners, but Wendy was keen to run Natoya. Of course, ran second on Saturday up in Sydney, looked the winner at the 300-metre mark. Lloyd, of course, Team Williams backing up Buckhurst after the Caulfield Cup, and word coming through that Master of Wine is paying up as well.
Wow. So a field of 14 is the maximum in the Ladbrokes Cox Plate, which means you will have an emergency. And if you do it purely on form, facts and figures, it would appear that the three-year-old Grand Slam is the one that could be in danger.
He did, of course, run third in the Group 1 Caulfield Guineas 2 weeks ago, or 10 days ago. We do like having three-year-olds come into the Cox Plate, of course, 49.5 kilos. And as it stands, he's the only three-year-old that we've got there. You've got horses like Buckhurst is a multiple Group 3 winner, and even Master of Wine, he's a multiple Group 3 winner as well, not placed at Group 1 level. So the committee will have a number of points to consider this morning and looking to have the final field announced at 9 o'clock.
What usually carries the most weight if you take us into the inner sanctum on how you make these decisions?
Certainly the form of the horses in the past 12 months, their performances at Group 1 level comes into it. Their performances at 1600 metres to 2000 metres is important as well. And as we saw last year, the X factor does come into it. Tiako Shark, of course, he hadn't won the Group 1 last year. Coming through, ran second in the Epsom Handicap. And on the back of that, with the X factor behind him, he came in and ran third, of course, behind Liz Grishun and Castle Vecchio. So the committee have got a number of criteria that they assess. They'll go through each of the 15, but it's particularly, I would say, three horses are in the mix for those final two spots.
Can you give us those three?
You would have to say Grand Slam, Master of Wine, and Buckhurst. You'd even throw Natoya in there, so let's say four chasing those last three spots. Natoya, of course, did win the Group 1 Doncaster back in March. So it'll be interesting to see which way the committee take this morning. But I'm sure there'll be a range of opinions around the table.
$200,000 late entry for Grand Slam. Does that come into it? You, as CEO, you wouldn't mind that on the balance books this year, would you?
Oh, it's always handy to get the late nom. And yeah, to be honest, the horse's form before the Caulfield Guineas was fair. You know, winning a benchmark 64 race on its way through. So, yeah, we do rate the Caulfield Guineas as one of the key lead-up races for the three-year-olds, and he did step out and run a great race. I saw him here on Saturday morning, and Kieran's really happy with the way the horse has come through that. He said he certainly has improved off that Caulfield run. And as I said, we are keen to see the 49.5 kilos there, and particularly a horse that wants to go to the front. So it'll be interesting to see how the committee rate those four horses when they're effectively fighting for three spots.
Well, who knows? It could be a little bit of history repeating, because the last three-year-old that won a Cox Plate, Seamus Award, was in fact an emergency.
He was. There was, and it's interesting how it plays out. The acceptances close at 8:30. The phone call came through that year at 8:29 from Danny O'Brien wanting to throw Seamus Award in. And then when we stepped out of the room after we'd finalised the field, putting Seamus Award in as a first emergency, there was whispers through the room that Atlantic Jewel had an issue. And of course, at 11 o'clock that morning after the vet inspection, Atlantic Jewel, which I think she was a $1.90 favourite on the Tuesday morning for the Cox Plate in 2013, she was a scratching. Seamus Award got in, led all the way, and the rest is history.
It's a morning with a difference. Obviously, we don't have any crowds here, and the barrier draw is usually one of the most anticipated because the connections get to choose the barrier they want. Now, they won't be here in person, but that will still continue this morning, and we'll be broadcasting that live on RSN and also on .com this morning.
Yeah, from 9 o'clock, so we'll contact all of the connections. We've got their phone numbers there. They'll have an opportunity to select their own barrier, so the head steward, Robert Cram, he'll go through and work out the order of entry, so to speak, and then we'll see how it unfolds from there.
Wow, it is going to be a magnificent few days as we count down. Just from a club's perspective, it's grand final day. It's going to be a huge broadcast on Channel 7. We've got two of the biggest clubs in Melbourne that dominate the grand final. Is that a positive or a negative? Because the media, it's going to be hard to fight for space this week.
Yeah, it will be, but I think there's every... Everyone knows that it's Cox Plate 100. We've been able to get that message out really since April with the double header. I think it's complimentary, to be honest. Sharing a double billing with the AFL Grand Final would have been a very different story had it have been Richmond, Geelong, MCG, and a crowd could attend. Mm. But I think now with the restrictions that are in place, the fact that it's in Brisbane, it'll be an opportunity for 6.5 million people here in Victoria. Sit down, watch the telecast on Channel 7 of Cox Plate Day. And, of course, Manikato Stakes on Channel 7 and Racing.com and RSN, of course, on the Friday night. So shaping up, it's an unmissable weekend, isn't it, with the public holiday on the Friday. And, of course, the Melbourne Storm looking to win the NRL Grand Final on the Sunday.
It's going to be a huge weekend for Melbourne. And the Manikato Stakes, the final field, will be out shortly as well. How big are we looking for a field in the Group 1 on Friday night?
Yeah, I had a look about 10 past 8. There's 11 already. Once again, it closes at 8.30 this morning and then barrier draw after that. But, yeah, pleasing to get a field of 11 and hopefully we'll get one or two more, particularly as the sprint ranks have been thinned out a little bit, as we saw with the Everest on the weekend. So it should be a very competitive race.
Michael, we'll have a chat to you after final field and barrier draw a little later this morning. Good luck. It's a tough decision. Wish the committee well.
Terrific. Thanks, Michael.
Michael Brow, the CEO here of the Moonee Valley Race Club, as we're counting down to Cox Plate 100.